IATA downgrades its airline profitability projection. More delays could be in store for Airbus's largest A350, and Boeing prepares to set up shop in Paris. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, June 8, 2011. International Air Transport Association Director General and CEO Giovanni Bisignani is retiring July 1st and used his last annual State of the Industry address to call on the industry to build a platform for a sustainable future based on renewed leadership, continuous innovation, and a united stand in addressing challenges and finding solutions. His remarks came at the association's 67th annual general meeting and World Air Transport Summit underway this week in Singapore. Quote, "After a decade of crises and shocks, airlines today are safer, stronger, leaner, and greener. But sustainable profitability remains elusive. The challenge is to prepare to handle 16 billion passengers and 400 million tons of cargo by 2050 with efficient infrastructure and effective technology, while making sustainable profits and satisfying customer needs," unquote. Bisignani noted that the industry has seen a net return of 0.1% over the last four decades. He called for stronger partnerships across the value chain and a more proactive role for governments. He also challenged Big Oil to commercialize sustainable biofuels at competitive prices. IATA has also further downgraded its 2011 airline industry profit forecast to $4 billion. That's a 54% fall from the $8.6 billion forecast in March, and down 78% from the $18 billion net profit recorded in 2010. On expected revenues of $598 billion, a $4 billion profit equates to a margin of 0.7%. IATA names fuel prices as the main cause of reduced profitability. After 3 years in development and one unsuccessful launch attempt, a rocket built by two Danish inventors has made a successful unmanned test flight. Copenhagen Suborbitals Group had hoped the rocket would achieve an altitude of about 9 miles, but it was unclear whether that objective was reached. The launch was made from a pad built on a barge off the island of Bornholm on Friday afternoon last week. Former NASA employee Christian von Bangsten, one of the designers, told reporters after the launch, quote, "It is a success that we got the rocket off the ground, and I believe that we have written a bit of history," unquote. AFP News reports co-designer Peter Madsen still hopes to fly the rocket on a suborbital mission in the near future. He said he would wait until there were 3 or 4 problem-free flights before he would attempt to become the first Dane in space. Reports coming from the IATA conference indicate that Rolls-Royce is set to build a new engine for the Airbus A350-1000, a move said to be brought on by pressure from the European plane maker to make its composite construction airliner more competitive with Boeing's Dreamliner and 777-300ER. Reuters reports that an executive with an unnamed major A350 customer said at the IATA meeting in Singapore that his understanding was Rolls-Royce would build a new engine. That's normally a $2 billion commitment. But redesigning the engine could require alterations to the design of the A350, pushing it even further behind schedule. There's been no official confirmation from either Airbus or Rolls regarding the story. Boeing's two new 747-8 airplane models, the Intercontinental Passenger version and the Freighter, will be on display along with the Dreamliner in Airbus's backyard during the Paris Air Show, which begins June 20th at Le Bourget. Boeing says it'll also be showing off an Air Berlin 737-700 with a new Boeing Sky interior, a Qatar Airways 777-200LR, the longest-range passenger jetliner in the world, the C-17 Globemaster III military airlifter, the F-15E Strike Eagle multi-role fighter, and the CH-47F Chinook heavy-lift helicopter. Boeing says it will deliver the first 747-8 freighter to Cargolux later this summer. The first 747-8 Intercontinental will be delivered in the fourth quarter to a VIP customer, and Lufthansa will be the first airline to receive one in early 2012. The 787 Dreamliner on display will be flight test airplane ZA-001. Launch customer All Nippon Airways will receive its first 787 in August or September. On Friday, Boeing issued 60-day advance layoff notices to about 510 employees in its space exploration division, resulting primarily from the planned completion of the space shuttle program. The notices include an estimated 260 employees in Houston, 150 at Kennedy Space Center, and 100 at the company's Huntington Beach facility in California. The last workday for affected employees will be August 5th, assuming Atlantis is launched as scheduled in July. The Connecticut State Senate has passed a bill to create a new quasi-public airport authority to oversee Bradley International, as well as the state's general aviation airports. The Associated Press reports the bill would transfer control of the state's airports from the state DOT to the new authority. Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy says the new independent authority will allow the state's airports to more quickly react to industry changes. As of our deadline, it wasn't clear whether the bill would come to a vote in the Connecticut House in time for the end of the state legislature session later today. Still ahead, an air show swears off jet teams after the Blue Angels cancel. Eclipse says it sold out of the Avio IFMS upgrade. And airline a la carte fees continue to escalate. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, June 8th. I'm Paul Plack. I'll be reminding you each day through the end of this week about yesterday's announcements that we're eliminating the daily 2-minute touch-and-go news podcast effective Monday and reducing the frequency of the special feature from daily to as needed, as part of a realignment to devote more time and resources to upcoming video products at ANN. This Aero Briefing podcast you're hearing now will remain on a daily schedule. Organizers of air shows at the Millville Army Airfield Museum in New Jersey say they're done with acrobatic jet teams after a short-notice cancellation by the Navy's Blue Angels reportedly cut deeply into the show's bottom line. The Navy's demonstration team canceled appearances at several venues for a safety stand-down following a low maneuver at an air show in Virginia in May. The commander of the Blue Angels ended up stepping down. Organizers of the Wheels and Wings air show at the Millville Army Airfield Museum over Memorial Day weekend say the cancellation could leave them tens of thousands of dollars in the hole, and the museum president declared, quote, "We will never have another jet team," unquote, and that the museum will instead rely on smaller acts and static displays. The Navy will refund only the $12,000 per day appearance fee. Chief of Naval Air Training spokesman Lieutenant John Supple said regarding other ancillary costs that show organizers book the team at their own risk. The museum is now trying to find a buyer for 25 55-gallon drums of smoke oil worth about $15,000. Eclipse Aerospace reported this week it has sold out of slots in its Avio IFMS completion program. Over 100 customers have placed firm, non-refundable deposits to participate. The program's now booked up through March of 2012. The program installs the fully integrated Avio flight management system in the Eclipse jet, completing what Eclipse calls the most advanced glass cockpit in general aviation. Over a dozen aircraft have already been delivered with Avio IFMS. Eclipse Aerospace CEO Mason Holland commented, quote, "What a huge success for aviation in 2011. Our customers love this aircraft, and the success of this program is another statement to this fact. Our company continues positive, profitable growth every month as we continue to support and enhance the Eclipse jet," unquote. Transport Canada has certified Bombardier's Global Vision flight deck, with FAA and EASA approvals expected later this year. Entry into service is on schedule for early next year. The Global Vision flight deck will be featured on Global 5000 and Global 6000 jets. Two of the nation's largest airlines are charging more for a second bag on a transatlantic flight. United Continental and Delta moved in lockstep to boost second bag fees on those flights. United Continental goes from $50 to $70. Delta raised its fee from $50 to $60 for online check-in and all the way to $75 if passengers wait till they get to the airport. Delta has also added a new $30 fee on a second checked bag going to Mexico or Central America. And finally today, if you hear traffic, birds chirping, or aircraft flying in our aerocasts over the next couple of days, It's because I've set up camp at Rotors Over the Rockies at the Brigham City Airport in northern Utah. I'm on the event committee for the Utah Rotorcraft Association, and there's a lot to finish setting up today. Our first early bird arrived yesterday, the owner of a single-seat gyroplane trailering in from Colorado Springs, and the official event days are Thursday through Saturday. We're expecting a good group this year. You can find details at utahrotorcraft.org. So far, the weather looks good, especially for Friday and Saturday. Everything's really green here now, and we still have several feet of snow capping the mountains, so it's really pretty here right now. All our creeks and rivers are running pretty high, but the airport elevation's high enough we were able to drop our contingency plans to have a new banner made which read, Rotors Over the Rapids. That's the latest from Aero News. We have an ANN special feature today. It's the second part of my interview with EAA's David Ord, and we'll discuss whether the FAA's Sport Pilot and LSA rulemaking have produced the intended results. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.